Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, I love Germans. I'm part German. And so when there's ever a commercial or anything from Germany, Angela Merkel, she was one of my heroes. She was a Lutheran pastor's daughter. I don't know if you remember that or not. But I remember a Mercedes-Benz commercial on TV. And it shows this car smashing into a brick wall. And nobody in the car was hurt. And it was amazing. And someone then asked the Mercedes engineer why their company does not enforce this patent for this energy-absorbing body of the car. Because they have a patent on it, but every other car maker starts stealing this patent. And she said, well, why don't you keep it? Because you have an exclusive patent. And the engineer replied, because in life, some things are just too important not to share. In life, some things are too important not to share. You know, as Christians, we have the good news of Jesus Christ. We gather here today to receive his word, to receive his sacrament, to sing his praises, to confess our sins, that here we are forgiven, and to be energized to go out into the world. We have good news. We have Jesus Christ. And I would say he must be shared. I mean, what's the name of our church? St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. Good news to share. It was our news to share. You look at out there and all the saints buried here, and from them they shared from generation to generation to generation the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, Grant and Christian are here, and Emma, is Wyatt there? Okay, but he's here in spirit. They're here because parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have shared the good news of Jesus Christ. It's called evangelism. And all we do is we share in our own unique ways, own special ways. Everybody can share in your own. There's not one. You don't all have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be Pastor Fred. Please don't be Pastor Fred. But you can be your own person and share how the gospel has touched your life. And so today, I have the honor of introducing to you a very wonderful, unique sharer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's some unusual things about this surprising evangelist. First of all, she was, what? A woman. First century Palestine, women were second-class citizens. Women have come a long way. We still need equal rights and equal pay for women, and we've got to fight for that. But in first century Palestine, women were second-hand citizens. But in the man's world of the first century, this woman smashed through the glass ceiling. She is recorded in Holy Scripture, which only records the most important things. But there's something even more about this woman. She was not a very virtuous woman. She had been around the block a few times, okay? And she was living with somebody that was not her husband. Okay, Ten Commandments, what's going on here? Sixth, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery, because according to Leviticus, we follow Leviticus, if you do, you should be... No. Stoned! You should be stoned, yeah. Should kill the person, okay? But you know, Jesus, he never followed the rules the way we thought he should, okay? He always throws a wrench into the works there. He rules by this thing called love, this amazing grace. And so he talks with this woman. In fact, his disciples were astonished that he was not only talking to a woman, but this one, they were embarrassed because he's a rabbi. He's got a reputation to keep, right? And he's talking to this woman, this adulterous woman, and he didn't care. He loved this woman. This woman was all by herself, at Jacob's well, at noon. Does that say anything to you? Have you been in Palestine at noon? It's hot. It's very hot. So when would you go to the well? Usually early in the morning before it was too cool, or in the evening of the day when it was cooler. But she didn't go. She went at noon because, guess what? It was a little village. They gossiped about her. She, you know, she's been married 5 times, and this guy, you know, he's a gigolo, and she's living with him, and woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, you know. So she went by herself at noon. Yet Jesus enters into a conversation with her, a conversation, a deep conversation that led to conversion. He not only speaks to her, but he speaks to her with great respect. What does he call her? Woman. And in Greek, the word is guna. And it could also be recorded as special woman, princess. Okay? Same word Jesus used at the wedding in Cana in Galilee when he talked to his mother. He said, woman, guna, beloved woman. When he's on the cross being crucified, he looks down, there's John and his mother and some of the other women. He said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Guna, special woman. And that was surprising because who she was. And Jesus entered into a respectful dialogue with this special lady. He did not compromise the truth of the gospel. He knew what she was doing was going to eventually hurt her or hurt the person she's with, and she needed to change. But he didn't start with that. He started with love and compassion and grace. You know, Jen and I are watching the news this past week, and Judy Woodward's doing a special thing about divisions in America. And it talks about this guy who was a veteran, and he had, what's it called, PSTD? Yeah. And he hated the Muslims. He was going to bomb this mosque. He had a bomb all ready to go, and he went to the mosque to case it out. And the people in the mosque, they loved him. They cared for him. His heart was changed. And guess what? He not only became a Muslim, he's president of the mosque now. Miracles can happen when you start with love and grace. In fact, in John's gospel, this woman is the first one that he reveals who he was, the Messiah. So this deep conversation led to conversion. And the beauty of that special time was disturbed by the disciples. Because disciples, they were faithful, but they weren't too bright. And so they come and say, oh, what's going on here? So, but at that time, she leaves and water jug, and she goes back to the city. And it doesn't end there. This woman who made such a mess of her life, who had such a bad reputation, went back to the very people that gossiped about her because she was so touched by Jesus, her life was so changed by Jesus Christ, that she just had to share, and she didn't care if they liked her or not because she was so full of joy. She said, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Well, that wasn't a strong witness. It wasn't a theological best witness, but it was a witness, and it worked. She was taken with Jesus that her life was changed, and everything in her life was changed. And she had a boldness and boasted about Jesus no matter what, with great conviction. She knew something good happened to her, and she just had to share that good, even with people who gossiped about her. And guess what? Many Samaritans in that city believed because of this woman's testimony. And many more believe because they went and they experienced Jesus personally. And what did they say to the woman? It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this truly is the Savior of the world. Samaritans were saying that. If you do a little study about Samaritans and Jews, you know, there was a riff there. So there you have it. The story of a very unlikely evangelist, a woman, a Samaritan woman, a woman with a shady reputation. And yet, she found in Jesus what she really needed. She found out that she was a special lady. She was a princess of God. She found out who she was, a child of God, and it made in the image and likeness of God. And she started drinking from this living water that gushed to her and through her to other people in the city. And when she found out who she was, and when she found out what Jesus had done for her, she had to go back and share it with others. You know, if God can use someone like this Samaritan woman, can he use you? Do you know the love of Jesus Christ in your heart? Are you here because the Word of God, the Supper of God, has touched you in such a way that your life is different? That faith, hope, and love live in you in a special way because Jesus lives in you. It's no longer you who live, but Christ lives in you. Have you found what you need in Christ? Have you discovered because of a relationship with God in Jesus Christ, you are a special man, you are a special woman? And isn't this about time you told somebody? Right now, today, before it's too late. After all, look around you. The fields are ripe for harvest. At work, at home, in the grocery store, at the restaurant, wherever you are, at the supermarket. There are more spaces in this congregation that can be filled with people hearing God's word, eating God's word, singing God's word, inspired by God's word to go out and be disciples and evangelists, to experience and drink of that water. This can be part of your Lenten discipline. Think of one person that you can say, hey, why don't you come with me to church Sunday? Hey, I got a Sunday school class at 9 o'clock on Sunday. Why don't you come with me? Hey, we have a dinner and a study on Wednesday nights. Come and eat. The soup's good. If you don't want to hear the teacher, that's fine. Go home. Hey, Easter, we're having a big celebration, and we're having a big brunch afterwards, the best food in the North Hills. Come to St. Paul's. You can do that. It's not that hard. You know, talk to them about Jesus in your life. Why are you a Christian? Why are you here? What difference does it make that Jesus is your Savior? I mean, isn't there some things in life that are just too important not to share? And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.